Thank you for joining Sharon Baptist Church this morning. You're about to hear a message from Pastor James Strickland. If you'd like to join them, you can get directions on their website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. Or watch the live stream on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. Here's Pastor James Strickland.
For today's message, I want you to think about the topic before we look at the scripture and ask a question. Are you looking for better days? Now think about it. Are you really looking for better days? That's what I want to preach about, looking for a new day. Turn, please, with us to the second epistle of Peter, 2 Peter chapter number 3. I'm going to read verses 10 through 14 and share a message about looking for a new day. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 10. Peter writes and he says, "But the day of the Lord will come." Amen for that. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless." Did you notice in this passage, twice Peter talked about the heavens and the earth being dissolved, melted, done away with? Twice he said that. And also twice in this same passage, he admonishes us, seeing that we believe these things are going to happen, he admonishes us to be very diligent about the lives that we live. When something is repeated twice in about 4 or 5 verses, it's rather important, wouldn't you think, to pay attention to it? Indeed, it would. Well, the revival services as such have passed us by. I hope you had a wonderful time. I did. Learned some things, found out some things, challenged by some things. But the revival services have come and gone. But I pray to God that the revival has not. And Peter reinforces some things here. After having these days of revival, you look back and you see the world's just in as big a mess as it's ever been, just as wicked as it's ever been. It almost seems like the world's headed toward a great devastation. And I know that you understand that there's a possibility that we could be in a nuclear war at some point in time in the world today. But Peter talks about a catastrophe that would almost, you'd say, be greater than a nuclear catastrophe. Peter talks about a catastrophic time when God is going to destroy the heavens as we know them and the earth that we live on. They'll be dissolved and done away with, contrary to some people's opinion who think that God's just going to remodel the world. Now, I don't believe that. The Bible doesn't say God's going to remodel this world. God said He's going to dissolve this earth and dissolve these elements and melt them away, and God's going to create a brand new heaven and a brand new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So you see, we who are saved are not just looking for better days here. We're looking for a new day. We're looking for a new age and a new tomorrow. But listen, this new heavens, this new earth is going to have righteousness only dwelling in it. I've never lived in a world like that. Neither have you. I've never been in a situation where just dwelled righteousness, all things that are godly and good and all things that are done are well-pleasing unto the Lord. But there's a day going to come when the world's going to be like that, the new world, the new heaven, the new age. And I'm going to meet that day with a hallelujah. I hope you will. That's why we need to be revived today, excited about that day, that new age, that new time that's going to come. Conditions here, beloved, don't expect them to get any better. They're not going to get any better. It seems like the conditions are so bad today that we could just destroy ourselves, doesn't it? But listen, it may not look to a lot of folks, may not look like to you, this present age, but there's a new age coming. There's a new day coming, and I'm looking forward to that new age, as Peter writes about right here in these verses. Peter gives us some things to be excited about, some things to anticipate as we look forward, as we move toward that new age, that new day, that new tomorrow that he talks about here. There's three things in this passage I want you to see with me. Why I'm so excited about this new day, this new time, this new world, this new heaven, this new earth. It's because, number one, it's because of the assurance of the Lord. Many areas of society today, social life, look so unsure, unstable. There was a time when you could hire on with a company and expect to stay with that company until you retired. Do you know today they say that probably your employment with certain companies might be 7 years, might be less, could be a little bit more, but certainly not years and years and years like it used to be. Things are so unsure today. Don't we want to have something sure to believe in, something to hold on to? Couldn't you use some new assurance today? Don't we need that today? I need that. You need that. Could you use that? I could use that. Could your heart need assurance today? Mine could, and it does. Well then, how do you face tomorrow? God gives us some new assurance here. Two things he says that you can be sure of even if the world's on fire. Number one, the day of the Lord will come. That's the way he starts this passage. But don't be too worried about it. He says, but the day of the Lord will come. I'm looking for the day of the Lord to begin just any moment, any day. It didn't come yesterday, so I'm looking today. If he doesn't come today, I'll be looking tomorrow and every day that I live. God has not forgot his promise to come again. As he wrote in John 14, he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare that place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself. So God hasn't forgot his promise. He hasn't forgot to come back again. He hasn't changed his mind about his coming again, about his returning. He'll return this time just like he came the first time. The Bible says in Galatians that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a virgin. So you see, that's how he came the first time, in God's fullness of time. That's exactly how Jesus is going to come this time, in the fullness of God's timing. Not your time, not my time, but his time. And when God's fullness of time comes up, the day of the Lord shall begin, and Jesus Christ will come. That gives me hope. That gives me faith. That gives me an expectancy in my life in the day of the Lord. Listen, the day of the Lord's coming is closer right now than it's ever been. Closer than yesterday. And if he doesn't come today, tomorrow, his coming will be closer than it was today. So don't lose hope, church. Don't lose faith. Don't lose your expectancy. The day of the Lord will come. And Peter says he's going to come as a thief in the night. How does a thief in the night come? He comes unexpectedly. You don't expect a thief in the night. You don't expect a thief to come at all, do you? But Jesus is going to come. But he's going to come when most of the world is unexpecting. And I'm sorry to say most of the world is going to be unprepared when Jesus comes. That's why we need to be revived. That's why we need to share with folks all that we can. Get ready, because the Lord's day could come any time. It's closer than ever. Don't let the Lord's coming catch you unawares. Don't let the coming of the Lord catch you unexpected. And don't let him catch you unsaved. Amen? So there's assurance here that the day of the Lord will come. But what's going to happen, Peter says, after the day of the Lord begins? He says destruction is going to follow the coming of the Lord. Now, you need to understand in prophecy what the day of the Lord signifies. The day of the Lord begins with the rapture of the church. The church is taken out of this world with Him for 7 years while the great tribulation goes on down here on this earth. At the end of the tribulation, we'll come back to this earth with our precious Lord, and for 1,000 literal years, we shall reign on the face of this present earth with Him. At the end of the 1,000 years, that's when this destruction He talks about here is going to come. Listen to what He says in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and their elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So then, we know that the day of the Lord will come. That day of destruction will commence at the end of the 1,000 years. He says the world as we know it will be melted. It will be dissolved. It will pass away. And the works, He says, that are therein. What kind of works are in the world today? Wickedness. Wickedness all in this world. That's why Peter says he's going to create a new world wherein dwells righteousness only. Righteousness doesn't dwell very much in this land today, does it? But he says that destruction will come. It'll come at the end of that 1,000 years. It seems to me that mankind is just bent on destroying himself. What do you think about it? How do you see it? Things are getting worse and worse and worse on a daily scale. The destruction of the world and the wickedness, you can be sure, you can take assurance that they will pass away one day. God will do this before that happens. God will preserve His own. And God will promote us to heaven. And God will take care of us, provide for us while all these horrible events take place on the face of this earth. And when God destroys this present heavens and earth, we'll be protected by the very merciful, godly hands of Jesus Christ. So you know that for sure. Before the wrath of God comes on this world, He'll take His people away. Just like it was in the days of Noah, you remember? When God commanded Noah to build the ark, command his family to come inside, and it says God shut the door, and then God rained down from heaven, and God opened up the fountains of the deep and flooded this whole world, destroyed the whole world's population except Noah, his wife, their 3 sons, and their wives. So you see, they were in the ark of safety when destruction came to the whole world's population in Noah's day. So just like the same truth, before God destroys this world, He'll put His own in the ark of safety. We'll be safe and secure in the arms of our Lord, and then destruction will come. You can be sure that's going to happen. The day of the Lord's going to happen. The destruction's going to follow. That's assurance you can take from God's Word today. But notice something else He says. Not just the assurance from the Lord, we have an anticipation from the Lord. Look at verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? This new day is going to come. This new age is going to come. This new tomorrow is going to come. I look forward to it with anticipation because the Lord said it's going to happen. I have a new expectation in my heart today. What do you have to look forward to? What do you have to anticipate from the day of the Lord coming? A couple things. First of all, a new day. Verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. Peter dwells much on the day of the Lord. It's clear this new day's coming. It's coming in the Lord. It's coming days. We'll do away with all the darkness in this world today. All the things that are so dreary today, all the things that are so dismal today, all the destructive things that you know about are going to be done away. A new, better day is going to come. It will come with the return of Jesus Christ. So you look forward to anticipate a new day. But a new age, he says. Look at verse 13. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. As I said earlier, the world's wicked. Like our pastor said last week, the day is going to come when people are going to call good evil and evil good. We're in that day, beloved. You know we are today. The world's wicked through and through. It's under the very grips and the control of the devil himself. It's getting worse and worse and worse every day. Don't look for it to get any better. It's going to get worse till Jesus comes. The Bible says in the last days, things will wax worse and worse. Well then, what about that new day? That new age, that new world wherein dwells righteousness. It'll be ushered in to God's children when Jesus Christ comes again. It's not going to happen before Jesus comes. Don't look for it to happen before then, that new age, that new day. But something else we know we can anticipate when Jesus comes. A new heavens and a new earth, Peter says, wherein dwelleth righteousness. This is all according to God's promise. Could you just imagine living in a world where nothing but goodness, godliness, and righteousness prevailed? All things that praise God and please Him. Almost sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? A lot of folks think it is too good to be true, but I want to assure you, anticipate that new heavens, that new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. It's not too good to be true. It is true because God promised it. Peter said God hasn't forgotten His promise to us. God's promises are true. And I'm looking forward with anticipation to the coming new day, the coming new age, and the coming new heaven and new earth with anticipation. I hope you're looking forward to that day too. Not just assurance He gives us, not just anticipation of it coming, but look at a third thing. Peter talks about our attitude toward it, or toward the Lord's coming. Listen to what he says in verse 11. He says in verse number 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse number 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. The question is this, preacher, what do I do? How do I live till Jesus comes? How do I live till this new day begins? What do I do till this new age is ushered in? What do I do till this new heavens and this new earth has come to pass? How am I going to face this until that day comes? Peter helps us here and tells us how we ought to live till Jesus comes. Then he says, you won't be ashamed when Jesus comes. Now listen, he's not talking about us being ashamed of Jesus. I'd never be ashamed of Jesus. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What's he talking about then? So that we won't be ashamed of the lives that we have lived or the lives that we are living when Jesus comes and takes us out of this world. I don't want to stand before my Lord and be ashamed. It'll be bad enough the best we can do, won't it? But to be ashamed before the Lord comes. How do you prevent that? What kind of attitude should we have? Well, Peter says it involves life. And it involves loyalty. First of all, look at life. He's talking about here in verse number 11 about all holy conversation. That means a manner of lifestyle that you're living when Jesus comes. I want you to notice there's two words here in verse 14 that needs our close attention. Look at verse 14 carefully. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, that's one word I want you to see, without spot, and then the word blameless. Two good words, peace. How does Jesus want to find you and me when He comes? Find us in peace. He wants to find us, first of all, in peace with Him and Him and Heavenly Father. Then He wants to find us in peace in our own heart, in our own soul, and find us in peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ. He wants us to find us in peace. That almost sounds impossible to do today, doesn't it, in this world in which we live? But you know what? It's not impossible. With all the turmoil that's going on, we can live at peace in Christ. We certainly can. It is possible. How do you know that, preacher? Can you give me some words from the Word of God? Yes, I can. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." So you see, there's your battleground, is your mind. There's where the battle takes place. If the devil can defeat you in your mind, he'll defeat you in your life. Keep your mind on him. Keep your mind on him and you'll be at peace when Jesus comes. Then he uses the word blameless, without spot, when Jesus comes. Now, when he says without spot and blameless, he doesn't mean some sinless perfection that some denominations try to teach. Beloved, you can't live sinlessly perfect. Do you know why I say that? You carry around in your body an old nature. That old nature is just bent toward sin. It's bent toward rebelling against God. It's bent on disobeying the Word of God and the will of God and the Word of God for your life. So you have that old nature that you have to carry with you till you go to the grave where Jesus comes. So you see, you can't live a sinlessly perfect life. Well, what then does he mean when he says, "I want you to be blameless when Jesus comes for you"? He wants us to be sure when Jesus comes that we have not been responsible for creating a conflict in the church or among God's people. He wants us to be sure that we are not responsible for bringing up some kind of controversy in the house of God or some kind of confusion that hinders the work of God. That's what Jesus expects of us when he comes again, to be at peace and to be blameless. So that involves the lifestyle that you live, the conversation. So Peter says, that's the attitude you ought to have in your life and your conversation. Then he talks about the loyalty. Listen to verse 14 again. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent," good word, "but that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless." He's talking about dedication, loyalty, consecration to the Lord. Beyond being saved, we must live a life that is pleasing to the Lord Jesus, that's a life that lives in compatibility with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and join our hearts and hands together to serve our wonderful Lord. How true have you been to the Lord? How faithful have you been to the Lord Jesus? Will it be any different in your life and mine after hearing this message today? Will it be any different in your life and mine after having revival services this past week? Will it make a difference in your life after these things come to pass? I say only time will tell. And time tells on us, doesn't it? Time is blatantly honest, isn't it? And time will tell on us. Are you really looking forward to that new day? That day of the Lord? That new age that God's going to usher in with Jesus Christ coming again? That new heavens and that new earth? Are you looking forward to it with delight? Or are you dreading it? I told you a story once about a lady in the church I pastored one other place at another time, talking about the Lord Jesus coming again. And she said, "What do you mean the Lord Jesus coming again?" I thought, "You've been in church all your life. You know what I'm talking about?" She said, "That would be the most horrible thing I could think of." I thought, maybe for you, not for me. I'm looking forward to Jesus coming again. Are you looking forward to it, or are you dreading it? It seemed like to me she was dreading it very, very much. But I promise you, listen, if you'll face the coming of the Lord, if you'll face the coming of the day of the Lord and the new day, the new age, the new earth, the new heavens, if you'll face it with the assurance that God gives us that the day of the Lord will come. It's coming, beloved. Not if, but when. It's coming. Face it with assurance that the day of the Lord's coming, and destruction's going to come on all this world that we presently today know it. But praise God, I won't be here when that takes place. Neither will you if you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can face those days with assurance. And I face these days with anticipation. I'll tell you, I know the Lord's going to come. I anticipate His coming today. It's going to be His day. It'll be a new age and a new heavens and a new earth. I anticipate those things because I don't know about you, but I'm about tired of living in this old ungodly world. This world's got nothing for me. The sooner I can leave this place and go to be with the Lord, the much better off I'm going to be. Whether I go through the grave or go in the rapture. Doesn't matter. We're going to win, aren't we? So I know that. So I anticipate those days. I'm assured those days are going to come. And my attitude of life and my attitude of loyalty to Him, I want to live a life in such that when He comes, I'll be able to say like John, even so, come Lord Jesus. I'm ready for You to come today. I wish You'd come today. I wish the fullness of God's timing would be in this next moment. We'd just be carried away out of this world and leave the world to the world. Amen. You can face those days, you see, with assurance and anticipation and also the right attitude. Revival this past week has helped us get in the right attitude of life and loyalty to Jesus Christ. And my prayer for us is this. This is a brand new day of a brand new week. If the Lord tarries His coming, I want to pray for our church family, all of us, me first, and all of us together, that God will put someone in your path of life this week that you can share Jesus Christ with him or her or whoever they may be. Because you see, when Jesus comes, the work of the church on earth is done. Your work and mine will be over. It's done. So what we're going to do, we have to get it done before the day of the Lord begins. And when does that begin? I just told you. When's the day of the Lord begin? With the rapture, taking a church away. And it goes all the way through to the eternal state with God. The day of the Lord is not just one day. It's 7 years, then 1,000 years, and then forever and forever and forever. And just think, I'm going to see those days. I'm going to be a part of that new age, that new world, where nothing but righteousness, godliness, holiness dwells. That's why I can say hallelujah for those days. Amen. What about you? It begins with your life, see, receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Have you received Him? If you haven't, today's a good day. Now's the time. Today's accepted day, Jesus says. Now you better get prepared, because just like the thief who comes when you're unexpecting him to come, that's when Jesus is going to come. I don't want Jesus to come and catch me unexpected. Do you? That's why I look every day for that eastern sky to open up, roll back like a scroll, and the Lord Jesus Christ will appear in the heavens. And you know when He comes this time, His feet are not going to touch the earth. You know that, don't you? He's going to come in the clouds, and we'll be caught up together with Him in the clouds, the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm with Him now. But oh, physically, I'll be with Him one day forever. Will you? You will if you've been saved. If you haven't been saved, you better get saved today. If the Spirit of God's speaking to your heart, you need to give your heart to Him now. Those viewing us on Facebook, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, I invite you to give your heart to Him today. Ask Him to come in and save you. So when He comes, you won't be unexpectedly caught unawares when He comes. But then we who know we're saved, we know we're going to go with Him when He comes. How have we been living? You know, there's nothing in these scriptures that I can find anywhere that teaches careless, slipshod Christian living. But I do find where it teaches to be loyal. I do find where it teaches us to be dedicated. I do find where it teaches us to be consecrated and to live for Him and to share Him with others and not be ashamed of the gospel. God help us as a church to rise up in these last days and be dedicated, consecrated to the Lord.
That was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. You can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com, or join us on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. God bless you.